What I do know that 1/3 of Black Americans still believe in our American way. We still love our country, still love our race, still want to see a country move forward. But yet we have been in the past voting Democrats. What the blessing of Barack Obama is that he was such a mess. He's such a bad president that many Blacks begin to wonder, what in the world was that all about? What happened to the hope to change? And because of that, we now have more Blacks that are now changing and thinking and having these discussions that you and I are having, Carol. And we don't have to demand you listen. They're getting it. They're feeling the difference of having jobs and having opportunities and having a business. And now, at the end of the day, all it takes is a few of us to change our way.
It's a movement, but it's about people. Be the People is about we the people joining forces to reclaim and reshape the best of our nation's time-treasured traditions. Each week, we offer insightful interviews with movers and shakers from all different spheres of life. And now, please welcome Dr. Carol Swain.
Today, we're going to be talking about the Congressional Black Caucus, that group of Black Democrats, African Americans, or whatever you want to call them, who present themselves as representatives of African Americans and the downtrodden, now the LGBT community, and just about any group that that's in vogue as being marginalized. When the caucus was founded back in 1971, they had a motto: Black people have no permanent friends, no permanent enemies, just permanent interests. Ever since their founding, though, they have been staunch Democrats, and they have advanced an agenda that has not been particularly friendly to the interests of Americans downtrodden. Some people would argue, and I would be among those, that they have benefited themselves more than they have benefited Black people in America, or even poor people in America. Joining me today to talk about this is former NFL player and author Burgess Owens. And he's the author of Liberalism, or How to Turn Good Men into Whiners, Weenies, and Wimps. And most recently, Why I Stand, which discusses America's move towards socialism. Join me in welcoming my guest and friend, Burgess Owens, to the Be the People show. So welcome, Burgess.
Hello, Carol. How you? I'm very much looking forward to you to talking with you, and you definitely have a big, big fan out here in Salt Lake City. So thank you for this opportunity to chat with you, and I look forward to talking with the audience for sure.
Well, the last time we spoke with one another, I was on your show.
That's exactly right. Yep. Conservative Commandos, us back last year, and it was a lot of fun. And this is such a great topic, Carol. I'm just so glad that you're bringing it to the forefront, and I look forward to chatting about this and having people just think about this group of people and what they have done to our race. So this is going to be a good conversation. I hope everybody sits back and stay tuned and take some notes for sure.
I don't know if you know, Burgess, that back when I wrote my first book that was published in 1993, it was titled Black Faces, Black Interests, The Representation of African Americans in Congress, and I looked at the Black Caucus members very closely then. It was bigger than the Black Caucus because I also looked at white members of Congress, but it was clear back then that they were out representing themselves. At that time, you know, some of them did not show up for their votes. I'm talking about they missed the majority of their votes, and they were benefiting themselves back then, and this was data that was gathered in the 1980s and early 1990s.
Well, you know, I go into this in detail in my latest book, Why I Stand, From Freedom to the Killing Fields of Socialism, and I go through each one. I go through a lot of the details of what they're doing, John Lewis to Elijah Cummings, and you're right. You know, we live in a society that's based on capitalism. Capitalism basically comes down to one basic thing. If you can present a value, if you can present something that people like and will enjoy continue coming back and purchasing, you become as successful and wealthy in this country as possible. Well, we have a group of people, Black people, who have become very, very wealthy. They go into Congress with $100,000 a year income coming out, multimillionaires, And it's not because black people are paying them. They're not, their constituency is not getting, first of all, they don't have the wealth to pay them to make those kind of strides. So it has to come from someplace else. And if you understand that source, then you see that what's happening to the black community is not on accident. It has gone from a fantastic society, and Carol, you know, we kind of grew up during that era, even though we had a little bit different backgrounds. I've understood your background, which was basically from poverty. I was fortunate to grow up in a middle-class family, but the end result is the same. We both learned about our society, learned about our country, got pride in our race, in our country, in our flag, and we're able to take advantage of the American dream, and here we are. We're talking on the radio, two black Americans with two different backgrounds, both growing up down south, but at the end of the day, we're both saying the same thing. You can make it in this country if you pay the price and do what other Americans have done to understand the American dream is alive and well. So, if it's okay, can I just real quickly get a little bit of background on NAACP to let people know where that comes from? Do I have a little time to do that real quick?
Yes, but first I want to just follow up on what you said about the American dream, that, yes, I was born and raised in poverty. I was one of 12, the only one to reach college, but I always believed in America. I believed that if I work hard enough, I could change my circumstances, and I was fortunate enough not to be surrounded by the messages that we send our young people, that America is stacked against you, that you can't make it. And I don't know what my life would have been like if I had been around the middle class black elites that all they espouse is negative, a negative narrative about the United States and about racism. They themselves have really benefited by this country and its generosity.
And you nailed it. We're dealing with the most insidious enemy in our stay here in this country. It's not white supremacists. It's black elitists. And I call them the royalty black class. And these are people that live the American dream. They go out there and they live in multi-million-dollar homes and drive great cars. They take their kids and send their kids to the best schools possible. And then what they do is make sure that those who depend on them don't have those same opportunities. Not only do they give the message of hopelessness, which is what they're paid to do very well. These people are very, very wealthy people.
I know.
So how do they get there? Well, they make sure that the people that they oversee in every city of hopelessness, of misery, Chicago, Detroit, Philadelphia, you go through the listing of where black Americans, urban American cities are, and you see nothing but hopelessness because these plantation, what do you call them? Anyway, these overseers have done extremely well by keeping the people that believe in them down. So you nailed that they're elitists, and what we have to do, Carol, I'm convinced of this. Well, let me just say this real quickly because I think it's important that we understand. Karl Marx said something back in the 1800s. He said, the first battleground is rewriting of history. What the leftists have done, and that's what these people are, they're socialists and they're Marxists. They're black socialists and Marxists. What they've done is made sure that we do not have the people, our history. Our history says very simply this. In 1905, 50 years after the end of slavery, Tuskegee Institution, started by Booker T. Washington down in Alabama, was producing more self-made millionaires than Harvard, Yale, and Princeton combined. The reason they were successful like that, because we believed in entrepreneurship, we believed in Christian values, our family unit was stronger than any other society out there, and we were doing our thing because we believed in the American dream. We were so excited about freedom. When I was growing up, when you and I were growing up, and the reason why, even though we have such a different background, we came to the same conclusion in our lives, is because growing up in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, this black community, the one that we now know is living under misery, was leading our country in the growth of the middle class. It was leading our country in the commitment of men to marriage over 70%, the percentage of entrepreneurs over 40%, percentage of men committed to education, because in our little segregated communities, we were taught and told that this is the greatest place in the history of mankind, and it's to make it by just by being a moral, good people, working hard, and overcoming all those obstacles that we're facing at the time. We're not taught that history. What we're taught by these leftists the John Lewis's, the Elijah Cummings, the Maxine Waters, is we went from slavery to being released by Democrats in the 1960s, which all is a total lie.
Were you raised as a Democrat and later became conservative, or were you raised in a Republican family?
Very good question. I was raised as a conservative with all the values that I just talked about, but we thought the Democrats were our friends.
Oh, well, just like
we
me.
Thought, just exactly. We came from the same cloth. What all of us have done, we came through a time when we were told that Democrats were our friends. And all we have to do is look back and see that was a big lie. The Democrats have never been our friends. But we were taught that process until we started getting into this welfare mentality part thing. And it was interesting, when I came out of the NFL, I was still a Democrat, but I started a business of my own. And the greatest thing that ever happened to me is I failed big time. I went into bankruptcy. And I realized during that period of time that this is the one place that you can always have a second chance. And I took that second chance, and of course I came out of it, but that's the way America is. And during that process, I realized that my conservative values are more tuned in to the Republican Party than it ever was the Democratic Party.
Now I want to jump back to what you were saying about black successes. Did you cover in your book Dunbar High School in Washington, D.C., what it was during the segregated era?
Absolutely. I did. It's sad to me that we have all of us, not only the black Americans that are listening to this show, but white Americans, because of the things we've done together has been washed out of our history. We are a country of we the people in such a major fashion. None of us have gotten to where we are on our own. Black Americans succeeded because of people that were part of the Underground Railroad. They succeeded because of the connection with Booker T. Washington and Carnegie. We can go through a listing of what we've done together to get us to where people of all backgrounds and races, because we have this thing as American culture, we love each other, we serve each other, and in the process, we move forward together. And Dunbar High School is a good example of what black Americans were doing back in the early 1900s. We were kicking butt. We were competing in education, competing in research. I grew up in Tallahassee, Florida. We had a black hospital and black doctors, and it was very easy to look around in my little segregated community and see every bit of success with entrepreneurs and doctors and lawyers and whole bit. Why would I ever think I couldn't make it if I had examples everywhere around me? And unfortunately, the leftists, someone in NAACP, let me just say this real quick about NAACP. There's a chapter I have in both our books. It's called The Trojan Horse. It was how the Greeks put this Trojan horse into this, it got into this community, this fortress, and was able to, from inside, attack and destroy the Greek society. Anyway, what's happened with us is we've had a Trojan horse since 1910. It's called the NAACP, National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. What people need to understand, and please read both books, I list them out. It was not started by colored people. It was started by 21 white socialists, Marxists, atheists, race-controlled Democrats. And it was started at a time when the black community was becoming at its zenith. We were Christian entrepreneurship. We had Booker T. Washington that was leading us in a way that of not trying to force people to like us, but commanding respect because of meritocracy. And they came in and changed the way we perceived our future. And that's what the result is as of today. So you wonder why we have now not white socialist Marxists, atheists, race-controlled Democrats, but we have black Marxists, socialists, race-controlled Democrats in the Democratic Party, because it's all based on the NAACP. Today, by the way, BET is the same thing, Black Entertainment Television. It's not owned by black people. It's owned by whites, Marxists, socialists, and atheists, Viacom. And what they're doing is just pushing nothing but filth into our community. So
that's
you wonder why you have all these kids growing up, become successful, and cannot stand for the flag. It's because for 20 years they've been taught anti-American, anti-white, this stuff that the left is pushing to our communities on a day-to-day basis.
Well, what you're saying is absolutely true, and I knew that the NAACP was started by whites and funded by whites, but I have to confess that it was only in the last 10 years that I became interested enough in Marxism that I started studying cultural Marxists And I could really see how they have not just destroyed our community, meaning the black community, but also infiltrated the organizations that have brought America into a direction of decline.
Well, Carol, you know, what we have to understand, and I'm thankful, and whenever I talk about my history, I'm thankful to have grown up in the segregated South of Tallahassee when I did, because we were taught some basic information. First is that we have a country built on Judeo-Christian values. We have a country built, I don't care how we worship, but there's a God in heaven that allowed our country to grow and to mend and to be the light on the hill that it is. We are against an enemy, and this enemy is consistent, it's intergenerational, it's Marxist, atheist, socialist, it's evil. In any place that you find these ideologies, you can find the same thing, misery, death, and destruction, hopelessness. And that's what they've been going after for a long time.
And we're going to take a brief break, and when we return, we'll talk more about this very important topic.
Are you wondering what we can do about immigration? Then get your copy of my newly released book, Debating Immigration, the second edition, available at Amazon, Cambridge University Press, and all major booksellers.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
I'm talking with Burgess Owens about the Congressional Black Caucus, and also just about the decline of Black America and some of those forces. And so, you know, just stick with us, because this is an important conversation that impacts every American, because we all suffer from the side effects. So, Burgess, what do you think is important for the audience to know about what's taking place today in America? And I'd like to talk about the Black America, but also how it impacts white America and the whole country.
Okay. The thing I'd like for everybody to remember, and this is one of our founders, I'm going to paraphrase Thomas Jefferson, ignorant and free can never be. Our country has been built on in a foundation of educated people who strive to understand their history, to understand that the things that has produced things like the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, things that we now live with that no other country in the history of mankind has done. We are fighting for our culture, and we have an evil out there, an evil ideology that's fighting against it, and it's going to continue to fight against it. So we have to recognize that if we cannot educate ourselves, the other side wins. I'm saddened to see great institutions that have been laid to waste by this leftist. It started with our great family unit. The Black American unit was the strongest in our entire country, and that's why we were leading so many different areas. And now we see where 70% of our Black boys have no problem at all not marrying the mothers of their children. They leave. They don't get educated, and it's all because of this ideologist that's come after us. The basic message I will give is that we have a culture we need to fight for. And we're seeing it being laid to waste, whether it be the Black family, whether it be the Boy Scouts. Believe it or not, the great institution of Boy Scouts is no longer, they're going into bankruptcy. Our news media, our education, entertainment, everything is being tainted by this leftist ideology. And if coming at us full tilt, we need to make sure we're fighting up against it and win this fight for sure.
Well, the problem, Burgess, with your message and my message and anyone who is conservative, is that the political correctness and the censorship has created an environment where a lot of us are afraid to speak, and those of us who do speak pay a price, and we can't count on the media to carry forth the messages to the people who need to hear it most.
No, you're right. It is a little frustrating and when you see where we are today. But a lot of it has to do with the fact that leftists have always been those of stealth, deceit, and they don't, they have, because they have no North Star, they could have no problem, North Star being God. They have no shame in just right out telling dishonest, being dishonest and not telling truth. What we have to understand is that I think conservatism is based on solutions. We've been busy building our businesses, our families, and taking care of our communities, and have not understood that as we're doing this, they have been like little ideology termites, getting those institutions that really drive our country. We have to some kind of way figure out through our entrepreneurial process how to regain the high road. How do we start to communicate the way the leftists have done? What they've done, nothing basically, Carol, is propaganda. It's no different than what Russia does. It's no different than what the Nazis did. It's shameless propaganda. What we have to figure out a way from the entrepreneurship piece of it, and those who do this, I can guarantee you become very, very wealthy. So if you're listening to my message, find a way to get the message out of truth, and you become wealthy in this country, because we all want to hear it. We just need somebody to step to the plate and become a voice against Facebook, against Google, against all those places where leftists have taken over, and put the right message out. If we do that, we'll win. So we just have to, you know, step to the plate again.
Well, Burgess, what do you do about the impact of the Barack Obama presidency? Because most blacks will put him on a pedestal, but they will also take the achievements of Donald Trump that's benefited the black community, and they would say, that was not Trump. President Obama did that.
Well, again, go back to the Thomas Jefferson, ignorance and free can never be. What we have to understand, I'm not trying to convince the entire world about truth. What I do know is that one-third of black Americans still believe in our American way. We still love our country, still love our race, still want to see a country move forward. But yet we have been in the past voting Democrats. What the blessing of Barack Obama is that he was such a mess. He's such a bad president that many blacks begin to wonder, what in the world was that all about? What happened to the whole change? And because of that, we now have more blacks that are now changing and thinking and having these discussions that you and I are having, Carol. And we don't have to demand you listen. They're getting it. They're feeling the difference of having jobs and having opportunities and having businesses. Now, at the end of the day, all it takes is a few of us to change our way. The downside, the upside of the Democrats, of having us as, they depend on us. They're addicted to the black vote. They need 90% of us to move forward. What happens when 15, 20, 30% of us begin to pull away? They lose it. They have no base anymore. You wonder why the open borders are so important. They get it. They know that the black race is moving away. They're getting off the plantation. We're having a conversation like this. So they need to have foreigners. They need to have the people coming in that do not love our country, do not understand our language, but know how to pull the lever for Democrats. That's
right.
All they care about, power, prestige.
And they want people that are from socialist countries that want to turn America into whatever nightmare they left behind.
That's exactly right. No, it is. We're truly in the fight, and sometimes we get kind of sidetracked with the NFL, the NBA. Who's going to take a flight to Afghanistan? We are truly in the fight, a spiritual fight for the heart and soul of our nation, and we need to understand that, folks. This is not something to sneeze at. These people are looking at destroying our nation. They want to transform it to some socialist Marxist means in which they can have all this great power. And the people that they have power over will be hopeless and poor, and as you see in these communities, depending on them. So we're really in a fight. We need to understand that this country has to win it. I have all the faith in the world that we will come through, that God hasn't given up on us. And have conversations like this, Carol, will help other Americans to recognize, we need to step up and stop voting for these leftists.
I think it's fascinating that black men seem to be getting it faster than black women, because more of them are moving away from the Democrats. What do you think that's about?
That is, boy, have you hit it on the head there? One thing that the leftists do, and if you look at what they've done to the black community, you see what they're trying to do with the rest of our country. The first thing they do is destroy manhood. They take away the understanding of what a man truly is, which is to protect, defend, and to lead. The real man is the one who gets out and he will put himself in front of his, he will protect, do anything he can to protect his wife and his kids. And he wants his name to be represented and respected. That's what a man is all about. That's the first thing he did that took away manhood in our country, which then, as you take away manhood, then man is not there to protect the women. And our womanhood has been attacked. We have women now that think it's medical, it's health care to kill their own babies. And at some point, there is a price to be paid when women do not have the love and the nurturing of their own kids. And that's what our community is feeling right now. So the fact of seeing men standing up, it says that we have enough good ones that's going to bring our race back. And as we bring our race back, I'm convinced of this, because they've been so dependent on us. Once we bring the black race back in the abyss of socialism, we will pull our nation back from the same abyss of socialism. So I'm proud of those men that are standing up, articulating themselves, demanding that they are respected. And they do that by commanding respect, going out and working hard and earning the respect of others, because they're not going to be little weenies, whining, and wimps.
And, you know, I don't know if all of our listeners know that in the black community, there are some, well, there's some cities in America where there are more black babies being aborted than are being born. And this is something if Republicans were doing that to Democrats, it would be called genocide. You know, that's what it should be called. But because it's being done by Democrats, the black community has been blinded by that, and so they don't speak up when they should speak up, because it's their offspring, their population being decimated.
Carol, I speak about this, and again, both with the last one, the Why I Stand, goes through this in detail. We have 1,800 black babies aborted by white abortions every single day. We have, since 1973, over 20 million black babies aborted, killed. That's about 40% of our present population. And that is, you hit it, the word is genocide. We are allowing, and one other point I should make a point of is that 80% of these killing laboratories are put into black communities. You know, you look in the state of Georgia, the highest rate of abortion is in John Lewis's district.
That's a disgrace.
You have people like John Lewis. Yeah, John Lewis, the last time he showed any courage was 1965, when he walked across that bridge. He got hit on the head, and all of a sudden he's become a millionaire because of it. This guy is Benedict Arnold. For those who don't know, that's someone who betrayed our country back in the days of the Revolution. These people are traitors. They betrayed our country, they betrayed our race, and they become wealth in the process. All they've done is, like Mexican matadors, they open the gates to the leftists to attack our people, to keep them poor and ignorant and based on misery, as they become wealthy and move into these communities, become little mini kings and queens. So yes, abortion was started to stop the black community back in 1918, and that's what they continue to do. They do not believe in the value of life, and of course, we're paying the price for that. So we need to make sure we understand who these people are.
Well, we're going to take another break, and when I return, I'd like for you to have your closing thoughts about the Congressional Black Caucus and what the listeners can do if they want to make a difference.
There are speakers, and then there are great speakers who know the importance of creating that memorable moment. Well, the key to any successful event is an informative and inspirational speaker. Professor Dr. Carol Swain is that gifted speaker. She delivers passionately from the heart every time. To find out more about booking Carol for your next great event, simply go to carolmswain.com. Click on Public Speaking and then click the blue Book Carol tab.
I'm back with my guest, Burgess Owens, former NFL player and also an author, a Christian, an activist, someone who really cares about America. We're talking about the black community. So, Burgess, the floor is yours.
I'll say this, and it's interesting, again, I can't say enough how proud I am of the generation that raised my generation. I hope that people will take the time to read either one of my books, particularly the first one. It talks about how great that generation was. They raised people that uh, uh, that that would run out in with zeal and zest to compete, you know, in any arena, because we knew that we can win. I hope that the audience listening today will recognize that we truly are. We've got to come together, folks. We the people have to stand up once again and understand who our enemy really is. It's not black and white. It's not old and poor, rich and poor, or old and young. It is an ideology of socialism, Marxism, and atheism. It's anti-God, and it's anti-American. We need to make sure that we know how to overcome this. There is, if we learn our history, we recognize that we have done great things in the past, and all it comes down to is educating ourselves and recognizing one simple fact. When Americans recognize we're in a fight, we always stand up, man up, and we win. We're in the fight for the heart and soul of our nation, and we need to get that done. And I'm one of those who, by the way, as a black American, I'm so appreciative of every single culture, every single race that's come to this country, that's assimilated, that's given me the opportunity today to have this conversation, Carol, with you, in which it doesn't matter what our color is. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what our education was in the past, because in some kind of way, figure out a way to be productive and to add value so we can have this conversation today. And that's what America does. We have to make sure our black kids, these kids that are being attacked by BET, Black Entertainment Television, run by white people, NAACP, started by white Marxists. We have to understand that it is those, that generation, if we get them back, we get our country back, and we need to understand that they truly are at risk, and we need to do our best to do our part to give them hope.
Thank you so much, Burgess. Well, folks, go ahead.
It's a pleasure, Carol, for sure. Let's do this again as soon as we can, okay? I look forward to it.
All right. We have our work cut out for us. The black community, whatever happens in the black community affects the white community. So it's not a black issue when we have a congressional black caucus that's racist. It's not actually representing Americans. It's representing itself. It needs to be held accountable, as do other leaders. And so we the people must remember that it's up to us to be the people who change America and our world.